We're going to solve a mystery today.
What is The Next Us, the location of our podcast studio?
And who is that high energy goddess floating up and down the halls?
Solving the mystery of The Next Us, next on Loving the Springs, where we celebrate the best and elevate the rest.
This is Peak Community, Studio 809 Podcast. Carrie Simison.
I'm Al Brody.
And I'm Dave Gardner. We're in the Studio 809 Podcast, Community Podcast Studio at The Next Us, a professional cooperative environment for small businesses in downtown Colorado Springs. We're defining co-op autonomy as we pursue our personal dreams in a collective space.
Today, Al is joining us from Ocean Beach in San Diego. We're joined in the studio by the magnificent Judy Paring. Judy, your LinkedIn profile calls you the idealist at The Next Us. Is that current? And if so, what exactly does that mean? And if not, what other description have you come up with for yourself?
That's an interesting question. I forgot that was what my profile said, but it is true. I'm the idealist. So I came into this space years ago, and as an entrepreneur myself, saw an empty building of Class A business space and thought, wow, how many entrepreneurs would love access to something like this rather than the big corporate businesses that used to occupy this space. And from there, it's really the idea of creating a backdrop and allowing everyone no limitations to what they see. So I think that would be the idealist in me.
I love it.
Yes, and Rob.
Well, we want to definitely explore that more. But first, if it's all right with you, I'd love to do a little bit of a history lesson, one on you and then one on the building a little bit. So maybe sure. We should start with you. Are you a native of these areas?
I am. Born and raised Colorado Springs, but grew up in Manitou. So I've got a family of six kids. I'm number five, one of the youngest. And my parents were pretty involved, I would say, in our local community. So we were always busy, always moving, always active. And my parents were both entrepreneurs. So this is kind of the root of where I come from and what I do. I did end up leaving for university. I went to Boston, went to Northeastern University and studied psychology. Mm-hmm. And was there for a while, built my own preschool out of my home for 8 years. I had done during school some work with middle school, high school, college age youth, kind of working my way through the ages and stages with my psychology background. And after the 8 years with the preschool, kind of studying the early development and the young mind, it was time for me to move home. We had a bit of a family crisis, and that's the building we're sitting in. This building used to rent out, like I said, to big companies, one big corporate company per floor, and it had been sitting vacant for years. I mean, if you drive by even today through Colorado Springs, you see office space for lease everywhere you look. And so the physical space is really, we have an abundance here in the Springs. And so I came in and said, I've got to figure out a way to solve this. This is something that is in my family and supports not only me, but my siblings and my parents, I think 13 grandchildren at this point. So, you know, I came in and said, what can we do to fill the space and why is it empty? And it's just a paradigm shift. You know, it's not the big corporate companies anymore. We don't operate that way. And, as an entrepreneur myself, like I said, I just went through every room and was like, oh, I could do this in here. I could do that in here. And how many other people have so many different ideas? So it was a bit of a struggle. My parents are from the older generation and didn't really understand what my idea was. I kind of strong-armed them, to say the least, and came in to this space, started calling up people that I remember growing up with, that I knew that were local, if I thought they were creatives or entrepreneurs or something like that, and just kind of walked them through and said, if you had access to the space, what would you do, you know, and what would your dreams be? And a few of those people are still actually operating out of this building with me. We've got some theater groups that started from the very beginning and have used like black box theater and things like that when more of the rooms were empty, but have created skits and done screenplays and even shown screenings in our library space. Through that, we had a bit of a learning curve as far as bringing different businesses in and how do we find a co-op when you've got everyone trying to be autonomous, trying to run their own business, run their own show, be in charge of their own dreams. How do you make sure you're not stepping on each other's toes was kind of the next challenge. So we've, over the years, really narrowed it down to quiet, focused workspace is what limits us. But through that, I say we're all ages, all stages, all walks of life. We've got people who are conducting research on large-scale agriculture. How do we feed the growing population? We've got an architect doing kitchen build-outs. We've got who I call an international spy who's teaching things all over the world, all different time zones. We've got accountants who are doing financial work, other research going on, people working remotely. And then our biggest pull that I would say through the years we found is health, wellness, and fitness. So we have a lot of people doing one-on-one work, meeting clients here and treating them. So chiropractors, massage therapists, estheticians, mental health therapists, these kinds of things. So I just see us really as a hub of resources for the local community. And we're just working to support that.
And there's a surprising number of them here because this building's about as big as the Pentagon, isn't it?
We do. So the way we split it up is we say every prime location is available to everyone. So all of our nicest spaces, everyone has access to. Our event rooms, our meeting rooms, conference rooms, those kinds of spaces. And then from there, we divvy it up. We do have some full-time private offices, but we also offer hourly conference rooms, private offices, treatment rooms, and fitness space. So that way, if someone's not able to or isn't even in the realm of working full time, they can either start here, launch, build, and grow, or they can just maintain a second job or side business or something and have access as they need it, when they need it. Two things that I think set us apart would be our sponsorships. We do try to sponsor local groups that are helping our community. So we're so proud to sponsor you guys.
Yeah,
you guys
we want to thank you for supporting you. Studio
Hey, happy to
podcast.
Do it. Another example would be Sue's Gift. They do gynecological cancer support and awareness around here in the Springs. They support so many women every year. And so we sponsor that group so that they can push forward and support the women they need to. Also Self-Defense Academy. The idea behind this jujitsu for self-defense is that you are worth defending. So they're putting everybody in a position to not only hold their ground in safety, but also honoring themselves every day. And that group personally has also changed my life. So really good things happening here. The other thing I would say that's huge about what we do that's very different is we're a cooperative space. So any other co-working space that you go to is going to have somebody at the front door to greet you, staff right and left, all kinds of extra amenities and services, and really kind of a real bumping vibe of things happening. And that's really cool. But what comes along with that is a lot of extra costs and a lot of extra fees and a lot of red tape. So we have no staff in this building. Everybody who's here is following their own dreams on their own terms. And we work to eliminate the red tape, take away the hoops so that there's nothing to jump through, and just bring everything at cost so that you are in the driver's seat of your business and nobody's standing in your way.
Well, you took away my next question. You know, I came to you and asked you about Studio 809 podcast coming here after I attended a couple of A Million Cups sessions that were held in this building. And each time they had 1 million cups, you were always kind of a part of the program. You would stand up early on and welcome everybody. And there was something really magic, Carrie, about, you know, I just kind of fell in love with Judaism. So, wow, this is a neat space, you know, and it's a good location. But also, she just makes me think the world is great and I can do anything. So
thanks, Dave.
So I reached out to you and I don't think I had to twist your arm too much. I think you loved our vision and here we are.
Absolutely. You know, thank you for saying that. I feel like my mission or my purpose in life and what drives me, coming from a big family, coming from very passionate and driven parents who always wanted to help the community and kind of show us the path that they thought was the right way to go. As a mother myself now, that's my job. You know, how do I show my children who I am in this world and what I'm here for and feel like I've got a purpose? And I found my way in that by seeing and believing in everyone around, you know, believing in myself and reaching for my dreams, working to support the local community and trying to create a space where people can do that as well. And that you know, in my mind creates a kind of a web of productivity that I would never be able to do on my own. So I can't be out here serving everybody in every way, but if I can create a space that empowers, you know, I think we have almost 200 active members right now,
wow,
then, you know, how many people can they reach? So I just see myself really as that, like I said, the idealist, but just holding that space and trying to provide that support and belief. Sometimes that's all we need is someone else to believe in us a little bit, give us that kind of little push, like, hey, I can do these things that I dream.
So. I believe.
Exactly. That's the first step.
So one thing almost everyone, when I walk them in as a guest for our podcast, comments on the art on their walk-in from the lobby. Can you tell us a little bit about the art you've got all over this space?
You know, thank you for bringing that up. We started trying to be kind of a local art gallery as well and hosting local artists rather than an art gallery who charges maybe 30% commission to their artists. We were going to the local artists and saying, hey, if you've got extra art or something that, you know, is just sitting around, hang it on our walls and we'd only charge a 10% commission to help keep the lights on in the building. And then you'd be able to market your art, pick your exhibits, this kind of this and that. And that was really a cool startup at first, but then COVID hit and squashed all of that, unfortunately for us. However, when COVID hit, we went a little underground and a lot of us here started to create art because we couldn't be in the hallways with people smiling, saying hello, doing these kinds of things. Everyone had to kind of operate on their own. We were still operating in full tilt, you know, just trying to handle most maintenance or, you know, operations when people weren't here. And so in the nights and evenings when people weren't here, we were painting murals on the walls. We were creating new art to put up, these big tapestries, so that when people were coming in to work on their own business, they may not see a face in the hallway, but they'd see a new piece of art. They'd see something colorful pop up that they didn't see the day before. You know, they'd see new plants growing and moving around. And the hope was that you wouldn't feel so alone in that time of such isolation. And so what you see now is kind of the aftermath of COVID. You know, we've got some local art still. We've got some things that have happened through that time frame. We had traveling artists that came through during COVID. And so really, it's quite a story, every piece of how it got here or who brought it or what we were going through at the time when that piece was created. So the other thing is that we do First Friday celebrations here. So we say tour the local art, be inspired by the local art, go through the galleries downtown, but come unleash the artist within. And we do our own arts and crafts projects. So a lot of the other art is made by members here during our First Friday kind of celebrations.
Awesome.
How did we not know that? I've been attending First Fridays for years and did not know that. So thank you. That's
that makes me ashamed. If nothing else, I should have been talking it up and inviting Al to come.
Yeah, well, you know, we've gone back and forth as to how public we were or if it was members only kind of thing. At first, we were really trying to jump on the wagon with First Friday and get on the map and be, you know, kind of really shown that way. But then we ended up finding that it wasn't really benefiting our local members to do that. It wasn't really supporting their business or getting them the foot traffic we thought. And so we honed in and focused more on building the community inside, being like, if you're a member, come and bring people you know. It's kind of invitation, members and invitation is how it's turned into.
Who you know.
Who you know kind of thing. And it's more, you know, we work hard, we play hard. And so we found that it was important for us to have that time together because we're always on our own two feet, working on our own, running our own business, running the show on the front stage. And so it's important to have a sense of community that we may not be coworkers, we may not be colleagues, but we have one thing in common, and that's we're running our own show, whatever it is, however vastly different it is. And we have a lot to learn from each other. So yeah, it's kind of gone a little more inward on our First Fridays, but we have new people come through all the time, you know, someone saying, oh, hey, you might benefit from this workspace, you know, with the things that you do and the service you provide for the community. So come through and meet some people, see what you think. But you know, like I said, we work hard all month, so it's fun sometimes to roll up our sleeves and get dirty and paint a canvas or build a dream catcher. Or
Groucho Marx said he wouldn't belong to any club that would have him as a member. But this is something that I really want to go to. So in April, I will be at First Friday.
I love it.
And of course, I think, Al, you slide in as a member from Studio 809.
Absolutely.
But I don't think you turn somebody from the public away if
no,
they're
never.
Curious
no,
they
never.
Come in.
I'm a semi-member.
Yeah. tell me if I'm just way off on this. I kind of think of it as, you know, we're all on a journey. And imagine if a couple centuries ago, we were on a wagon train traveling across the country. Every night, we circle the wagons and we gather around the campfire. And I feel like First Fridays here are kind of circling the wagons and gathering around the campfire.
Yeah, you know, we try to create that invitation. So it's, again, that balance of co-op autonomy, what we call it. How do we, you know, find that common ground with everyone who's this type A personality who's like, I'm going to break through the rules and do things on my own and break out of the box and I'm on my own path and this and that. It's hard to corral this type of personality into one thing. So not everyone comes. I kind of joke as I tour people through the building that everybody is here, again, on their own terms. We've got people who've been here for all 7 years and nobody knows them. They come in, they're here for the hours that make sense. They put their work in and they're gone before anyone even, you know, maybe the three or four of us that, you know, kind of have the strangest hours or around the most random times we know who these people are. But some people are completely under this cloak.
Count Dracula.
There you go. There you go. Count Dracula. I mean, nobody knows he's here, you know? So it's in like our international spy. And so it's interesting, but then we'll have someone who comes in. We had someone join us a few months ago and she was brand new. And within a week, everybody knew her. It was wild. And everybody gets to set that own pace for themselves. And First Fry is kind of silly like that too, because a lot of people are like, well, I don't really go to social events. You know, I don't really like that kind of clicky vibe thing, but we're all the outliers. We are all the weirdos. And so First Friday, you know, you'll see some groups of people really talking and hanging out together and you'll see someone come in and kind of hang by themselves on the corner, but they'll do the project and they'll maybe say hi to one or two people. The idea is everybody is welcome here and everybody is accepted for who they are. We don't have to fit into a standard. We don't have to meet some kind of social expectation. So yeah, some people love to come to First Friday. Some people would never dream of it, but everyone here is invited. And Al, I see you as a member in mindset, even if you were never to set foot in this space, because the next us beyond anything is a mentality, and that mentality has no boundaries. So if you fit into that, then you're one of us.
It's community, and my goal, especially in 2026, my intention is to build community. And what a great place to do that. And First Friday is a moment in time when that can really happen.
Yeah, it's beautiful how it happens. I think every time it's a little different.
Now, you're interesting because of The Next Us and what you're doing with this place, but you're also a very interesting artist in your own right that I want to really share with our listeners.
Thank you, Dave.
So shall we go down that road?
Sure thing.
I call you a spoken word artist. Is that a good description?
I think that's what it is. Yeah.
spoken word
sounds about right.
You write really cool stuff, but you also perform it really well, too.
Thank you.
So I'm hoping you might have something to share with us today.
I do. I have two. So up to you which we go for. I have one that kind of is like a new year start off kind of vibe for anyone, or I have one that explains a little bit more about the people at The Next Us.
Yeah, I think we want both of those.
Oh, yeah?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Well, don't make us
since
decide.
We're talking about The Next Us, I'll start with that one, and then okay. Maybe we can close with the other one and
all
send
right.
Everyone off with some kind of good new year cheer. All right. What is The Next Us? Who are we? And what are we a part of? We are the outliers, the ones thinking inside our minds, acting outside the lines, listening to our instinct and honing our approach. We are each unique, creating awareness around our individual weakness, training our strengths, prioritizing our time, and seeking value in our pursuit. What's important to me? Sounds different than what's in your purview. In that, we find our own way to contribute. Our actions and our words define who we are based on how we react to where we've been, shining bright, each of us in self-expression. We're beautifully and wonderfully made in our own skin, all a part of this miraculous existence. My perspective comes through these, and it's probably not what you see, even if you're standing right next to me. We're different, so we're the same in that we respect each other's irrelevant truth. We're not swimming in the mainstream as extras, we're the cast and crew. And that's the beauty and the beast of our co-op autonomy fruit. There's nothing easy about what we do. Can I agree to disagree and still get along with you? Can we recognize the need in our community as we're all filling different shoes? Divide and conquer, rooted within our core, settling various scores. And together, we're the cavalry, branching out in every direction. I'm not meant to solve the same problem as you. And in our hearts, this is how we march to the same tune. So if you're here with me, please trust when I say thank you for what you do. And the Next Us is here to support you.
Wow.
Yay.
I've never used AI as a compliment, but I can hear your voice and your words coming from AI. It's like too perfect. Not too perfect. It is perfect.
That was
beautiful. But I mean, think
you know,
about
so
what AI
does.
It's
funny that you say that, Al, because someone the other day, this was actually at our last First Friday, pulled up AI to write a poem based on something. And I was so offended immediately because I was like, oh my gosh, this is art and words are such artistry and it's so wild to see AI. But what was funny was it was catching on throughout the night and people were looking up different things and being like, oh, I'm going to write a poem about this. AI, write a poem about this. And immediately we already found the patterns that AI was using.
Yes.
We already saw what the machine could do. And it was limited. It was so limited. And it was really basic, but very revealing of our kind of mainstream society.
Yes, yes.
Because it was like, oh, that's what is happening on the modern mainstream that the machine can pick up. These common threads, these strange words or uses or phrases or kind of pointing to certain priorities, you know, with us socially. So it's funny that you say that because I was so hurt by AI's offer to create poetry for people. But it's a little limited and a little revealing, for sure.
That worries me. It makes me feel like it might, you know, reinforce the worst of us. It's kind of like a feedback loop that,
right.
But it keeps learning. And the amazing thing is you have given it, especially if you publish that anywhere. It is now.
I only have it in my notes on my phone, but
okay.
I guess it's got access to that too, probably. I mean, I don't know what I signed in my terms and agreement. It's 700 pages of fine print.
AI will be transcribing this podcast.
Okay, there you go.
Those words will be up there.
Well, maybe
there
I can help it a little bit. Maybe I can,
boost
AI.
Yes.
Yes.
But I really want your words to go way beyond your phone. I would love to see you on stage here locally.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, I've had fun a couple times. I was featured as an artist for TEDx Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
Wow.
I introduced one of their series. It was a little silly how it happened, but that was really fun. Then again, the 1 Million Cups, which is just, you know, what you were mentioning earlier, is kind of an entrepreneur platform really for networking. But yeah, but I had fun introducing that every week for a while and kind of spitting some word here and there, just kind of trying to inspire the local entrepreneurs through that. But yeah, I don't know. Holding space for that, Dave.
Well,
thank
I've been
you.
Thinking I need to twist your arm and get you to just do open mic night at Rico's or something like that.
Okay.
But really, you're so talented that we need her on a bigger stage and a bigger venue.
You flatter
need
me.
To have her at Lulu's or something.
Yeah, you're giving me ideas.
Carrie will think of something.
So I work for Downtown Colorado Springs, and this summer we are hoping to work with Sarah Voss for a...
Yeah.
Acacia Park concert series, much like what they're doing on the West Side on Thursday nights. And then, of course, with the Acacia Park band shell renovation project being fundraised for, it'll be a good summer to kind of start talking about that to help, you know, bring in funding for when we can actually do the project. And I believe their plan is early 2027 to actually do the renovation on that. And the Downtown Rotary Club is taking point on that. But with a stage every Thursday night featuring local music, we haven't really gotten much farther into planning, but it'd be really cool to do, you know, various opens for the band that would be playing that night, whether it was spoken word or slam poetry or, you know, an acoustic musician or something before.
Oh, how exciting.
You got my wheels going.
I love that. That's what I'm here for. I love that.
Good. And that'll start before the renovation. We don't have to wait for the new band shell.
That's hopefully be May of 2026. So the concert series will kick off down there.
That's great.
That's really exciting.
And if Sarah Voss is involved, you know, it's...
It'll
it's,
happen.
Exactly.
I can't wait. I got to hear the next poem.
Well, I was thinking maybe we should. What do you guys think about making that the very last thing in this episode?
I was thinking so. Send us into the new year with
that works.
We have a couple of other things to do. Let's save that for last, and that'll be a big finish. So the question, is there a way for people to connect with you, to follow you, so that they might know if you have a performance scheduled or if you publish something?
That's an interesting question.
I know it's not LinkedIn. I don't see much activity there.
This is one of my major weaknesses here that you've just pointed out. I do not really have a social presence like that. I tried for a long time to push, you know, having a social media profile, but I just can't seem to care. It's definitely something I've always wanted to work on. But you know what? For you, Dave, I will, if I get on a stage, if there's a public thing, I will post it on social medias. How about that? I'll make that commitment to you.
All right. We'll let the world know, that's for sure.
Thank you.
And if somebody's interested in learning more about The Next Us, The Next Us does have a web presence.
A little bit of a web presence, not so much. It's kind of inside out how it works because we don't really put a lot of emphasis on The Next Us itself. We are really just the backdrop. We're really just the canvas and everyone else is their own artist. So you'll see through other members who work here, sometimes they'll promote it more than others, depending on how they use the space, what they use the space for. A lot of times with events, people will be called to this space for that. However, we found our way to grow or to find our people best through referral and word of mouth. Promoting ourselves and large scale marketing reaches a crowd that's not really relevant to what we do. You know, this is a very serious space for extremely driven entrepreneurs. A lot of other spaces will have programs to support you, scholarships to hold your hand and guide you. You know, there's all kinds of other places out there that, you know, again, provide more amenities or more services or things like that. This space is for the entrepreneur who knows what they want, is out to get it, and doesn't want anybody to stand in their way. And so in that way, we don't really toot our own horn too much. We do try to work to promote the businesses in here and things like that. So we do have a Facebook and Instagram for The Next Us. And we do put things on Peak Radar sometimes, depending on if we've got big events and invitations and things like that. But it's hard sometimes to try to put the word out and find the right people.
So what can we promise to put in the show notes for someone who might want to reach out to you and get a tour and
We do have a website. We do have social media and stuff like that. My phone number is published on all of those things or email. I'll typically get an email from someone or a text. There's an inquiry button on our website, those kinds of things.
Okay.
But shoot me a text, send me an email. Let me know what you're interested in. And I'd love to walk people through and give tours and allow their minds to turn and see, does this space work for me? Can I bring my clients here? You know, what's great is like, we're right downtown. We've got a huge parking lot. So it's really easy for people to arrive, really easy for people to come in. Like I said, great waiting rooms and things like that. We create a really nice environment for people to receive their clients and meet their clients. But then again, it's flexible. So if someone only needs a few hours at a time, we have that. If someone only needs a business address because they don't want to be found at home, we have that. You know, it's really custom to what people need. Some people are 2 days a week, you know, 5 days a week. Some people share an office. Some people are in a different room every time they come in. You know, so it's really just the idea that someone says, I need a workspace, I need an address, or I need access to conferences, event rooms, private offices, part-time or full-time. And we can kind of mold to what you need. We try to create the space. So things shift and change depending on who's here and what their dreams are and what their needs are. We try to allow that to kind of grow and change.
Good answer. Okay. Colorado Springs, born, Manitou Springs, raised, and spent most of your life in these two springs.
Correct.
So you should have a good answer for this question we ask everybody.
Uh-oh.
Being a native and being who you are, which is very special, what do you love about the springs?
Yeah, so of course, The Next Us is kind of what I live and breathe. I'm here a lot, just trying to support everyone's dreams. But my personal time, take me to the rivers. That's it. I go up into the mountains. I go to the rivers. I like to climb rocks. I like to climb trees. Ooh. I like to dance and sing. I like to paint. And I like to write. So I love to go into nature for that.
Take us to a river, one of your favorites.
Yeah, 11 Mile Canyon's one of my favorites. It's so close.
Yes.
But I mean, if I only have a few minutes, you're going to find me in the Manitou River. I grew up there. You know, I run down the street and jump in anytime. The last real plunge I did, actually, I was due with my daughter to be born January 9th. It was 4 degrees outside. And I went full in.
Whoa,
I went, yeah,
wow.
I was swimming. I was swimming in the ice in the water. It was incredible. You know, so I'm not too picky about which river. There's the Manitou's right there. So
that's beautiful because I ride the trails often. And I think people who ride the trails or walk the trails know there's a river there. But I would bet that most people in Colorado Springs don't know that there is a Manitou River.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I grew up there, so that was where we hung out, man. I mean, it was like run down, everybody's running down the hill, wherever they're coming from, and we're meeting at the river. Yeah, we used to trek all the way up and down that river all the time, so I know that river pretty well.
Thank you. You know, I don't think of it as the Manitou River, but when you say that, it's like, of course it is. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. Well, we have a couple of quick little news items we want to discuss. And then don't go away, everybody, because we've got some really great poetry from Judy to finish off with. And I'm sure it will be entertaining and inspiring. You know, we talked a little bit about the Clean and Safe program in downtown Colorado Springs. I think it was in the last episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've all run together. The holiday season kind of makes weeks turn into hours.
Yeah, but I think we only whetted people's appetite. And then lo and behold, in the studio, you know, Studio 809 Podcast has, I don't know, we're up to maybe 14 local podcasts. And one of them is A Place for Everyone, which is hosted by Homeward Pikes Peak. And their mission is to serve the homeless population. So they were very interested in the Clean and Safe program and actually are involved in it. And so the newest episode of A Place for Everyone, lo and behold, they really got into the nitty gritty about Clean and Safe. And I really wanted to just let everybody know about that. So if you really want to get more information, you can search for A Place for Everyone wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's awesome. Pat Rigdon, our director of downtown safety and public space management, some incredibly long title that needs two business cards, sat down with Beth Rolstead. And yeah, they actually have a team that's basically one of the three pillars of the Clean and Safe program. So we've got expanded security, ambassadors, mm-hmm. and then the Homeward Pikes Peak outreach team. And so what they are doing on a weekly basis is out there engaging with our unhoused neighbors and learning more about them and seeing if they need services, if they want services, and how they can be connected. So it's really great. But yeah, listen in on episode 23, A Place for Everyone, and learn more about it and see how Homeward Pikes Peak and downtown Colorado Springs are working together to try and make downtown more clean, safe, approachable, accessible, and take care of our neighbors.
And if you're not an avid podcast listener and struggling to find it, you can always just go to studio809podcast.com and find all of our podcasts. So you can listen in your browser that way if you want to. And then the other news item is also related to one of our podcasts. Elevating Pikes Peak Women has been a pretty cool podcast here that's hosted by Pikes Peak Women, and former Colorado Springs Mayor Mary Lou Makepeace hosted that from its inception and just recently retired from that role. And they have now three hosts that are going to be rotating, and they're three very impressive women in their own right. And they graced our studio not too long ago for an episode where they're doing a tribute to Mary Lou Makepeace and the other women who started Pikes Peak Women, and also talked a little bit about their future plans for the podcast and future plans for the organization Pikes Peak Women. And so that's pretty interesting to catch up on. So that's Elevating Pikes Peak Women, episode 61. Title of that is Get Involved, Get Engaged. I think I should name the perpetrators, Melissa Martz, Beth Rolstad, and Brenda Morrison, Marcy Morrison's daughter. Marcy was certainly a key person in Manitou Springs and one of the founding members of Pikes Peak Women as well, and we lost her not that long ago. So really a great tribute and an interesting episode, and they're going to be doing some really interesting things this year. Happy New Year, by the way.
Happy New Year.
Okay, Al, what you've been waiting for?
Well, that's right. We have to hear this New Year's poem.
Oh, yes.
Take it away, Judy.
All right. Live in the moment. Feel it and take it with you. Try to give every instant the weight it is due. Bear that heavy with strength and keep reaching. Experience your life and in each unique find value. Pursue all you must and whenever you can, follow through. Learn from the depths and stretch out new. Revel in the darkness, and when the light hits, even for a split, open up, bloom. There is a delicate power in vulnerability. Even if in your weakness they take advantage of you, your skill is in the will to continue to build.
Bravo.
Can I take that to Burning Man?
Hey!
I'm serious. I would like to take that to Burning Man. That would be perfect at my camp.
What fun.
Did you know Al goes to Burning Man?
I didn't know. Al, you'll have to tell me more about it.
I'll do that, but it's going to cost you that poem.
Okay, you got a deal.
All right.
All right, that's great. Well, I think that's it for this episode.
This was fun. I want more of these. I'm a recovering poet. Okay. I had the fortunate opportunity to go to grad school for poetry.
Oh, I love this.
Probably my favorite 2 years of my life.
Yes.
And it's one of those things that I never thought I'd let it get away from me, but I've gotten so far away from writing. I did take a creative writing class at Cottonwood in October, which was a blast.
Very nice.
It was all more fiction and stuff, but at least gave me the, you know, my toes dipped back in to do it a little bit more again. And it's, I don't make resolutions, but it is a part of my New Year's to dig those new notebooks out and fill the pages with some words.
Oh, that must be why I'm here this morning.
Very inspiring to hear you.
Absolutely. Well, I'm here to push you, so.
That's great, because you don't have too many creative outlets, Gary.
You know, I've been coming to The Next Us for over a year, getting close to 2 years now. And I always go to it as a location, a destination. But now I feel like a part of it in a very different way. So thank you so much, Judy, for really bringing it to life. It's so much more than I thought it would.
Ah, thank you, Al. Ah, I love that. Yes, well, you're invited.
That's what she does. I mean, she really does float down the hall. I don't think her feet ever touch the floor.
Well, thanks for listening to Loving the Springs.
Please follow the podcast and tell your friends about us.
And see you next time.
In the Pikes Peak region, there's no shortage of activities. Whether you're experiencing breathtaking parks or magnificent works of art, if you're getting fashionable at a film festival, or fresh at a farmer's market, if you want to hear the sweet sounds of a symphony or the smooth shred of a Stratocaster, look no further than Peak Radar, your one-stop shop for all events in the Pikes Peak region, your free source for viewing and posting events. So no matter how you engage with our beautiful region, visit peakradar.com and get plugged into the peak.